This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Guru Family Office, has been a sponsor, private equity fund manager, Adam Smith. He's done it all in private equity. Adam, we're going to talk today about what trends you're seeing currently. Are people deploying capital aggressively? Are they trying to exit while the going is good? What are some of the trends you're watching right now?
Yeah, certainly a dynamic time, Scott. It's good to talk to you today. There's a great change in the market, I believe, from what used to be a liquidity constrained period in a more traditional recession that we've been going through. And now there is a tremendous rebound towards applying the liquidity that's been built up. I think we saw a bit of that in back in the previous cycle in mid to late 2009. But it seems like there is a much greater demand for risk. I think we saw some of that go through the SPAC cycle. It's not normalizing. We see it also in Bitcoin, and we can see it in valuations, which are probably extended beyond the norm in the public side. I think the question is really, how does that apply to the private valuations?
And what are you seeing there? Are you seeing private valuations off the charts? Or are they still constrained at all by the debt market? Or what are you seeing there?
When you look at the data from the experts, let's say at Duff & Phelps or SPP, Houlihan Lokey, you see valuations above the norm. But I do believe there is a bit of a gap between the public valuations and the private valuations. Typically, the private valuations will lag the public valuations and metrics by several months and numerically perhaps by one or two turns. But in general, I do think that over the course of a cycle, that valuations are extended partly because of the liquidity that's been provided to the market, both in the public and the private sector, as well as that there is probably an excess of capital, something around $2 trillion in private equity, another $2 trillion in family offices, perhaps another couple of trillion in private credit compared to the number of deals. And seems like people forget that there is not a natural equilibrium between the deals and the companies that are available for capital and the capital that's actually available to put into them.
And talk about that for a moment and what you mean there, because you mentioned a couple of things. One, the public markets might be trading at some crazy price to earnings multiples, and the private equity market lags that just a little bit. Talk about for a moment what you see there, and then also how there's not a perfect dichotomy between the amount of capital available, because there's so much capital available, versus pricing and companies available. What's that, some of that dichotomy?
Well, if you have a need to put capital to work, let's say as an institution, then you need to put it to work. And so you want to do the best you can by doing research, having operating partners involved, buying scalable companies that might be also a great fit for consolidation or add-ons. I think that in the cycles where we've seen a rebound and where valuations tend to increase beyond where they perhaps should is also because earnings are depressed. So you have a temporary differential there in the environment coming out of recession, right? Because you have the demand to put the money to work, to buy the companies, to do M&A, to deploy your capital. But the earnings, which you can evaluate, are still a lagging indicator. So there's going to be some inherent risk there, and the metrics, the multiples might be a bit higher.
Where are you still seeing the earnings compressed versus not?
Sure. I think earnings are depressed across the consumer spectrum, the non-durable sector, as well as transportation and in industries that are more elastic to the economy. So those earnings seem to be depressed, 20 to 50% on a lagging basis. So those multiples will be higher. But at the same time, if you're looking for a return, you can afford to make those investments in the private sector, let's say a consumer food company, grocery, retail, restaurant, luxury, accessories, anything more elastic. If you're going to stick with it for 3 or 4 or 5 years, then you could be rewarded for that risk.
Got it. And where are you seeing earnings excel? Is it all in the technology, software as a service sector, et cetera? Is that where you're seeing the money still just be the profits going in the right direction and things going crazy?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of growth in anything related to impact, sustainability, wellness. That's a very strong market in terms of the end consumer demand. Of course, food and beverages and staples are very attractive. Household products, very attractive right now. I think the lagging sectors will be more in the services and industrial manufacturing side. So it just depends on what flavor you're looking for. I think overall, from a private equity or private investment standpoint, anything south of 10 times EBITDA is starting to look more attractive. And if you can find a great company that's closer to 6 or 7 times EBITDA, then you're probably in a better competitive position.
And what are you most excited about looking at today as an investor? Where are you most excited about putting money to work?
Well, personally, coming from a background in consumer, I think that there's three areas that are interesting. One is the marketplaces. Both B2B and B2C marketplaces are attractive. They take a while to build, but they're very sticky and can be valued very highly with strong acquisitions in the back end. Secondly, would be on the wellness side. I think that ship has not finished sailing in any areas around wellness. It can be food, can be ingredients, can be exercise, fitness, digital wellness as well. And then third would be kind of the fintech and technology solutions, which are more niche offerings to the market. They plug into, into those areas.
And Adam, you've had a tremendous track record as an investor, as a business person, in the area. Where can people find you? Where can they learn more about Adam Smith?
I'm just one of 2,000 other investors out there, and tens of thousands of other qualified people. But I tend to use LinkedIn. It's kind of an addictive and useful platform. So anybody can find me on Adam Smith on LinkedIn. Just use the R before the Adam Smith, because Adam Smith is a lot of those out there.
Fantastic. Adam, thank you again for joining us on the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. Always a pleasure to visit with you and learn from you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Have a nice day.